And so, dear friends, we come to the end of this journey. What an amazing time it's been. I'm so grateful to God. I'm grateful to you who have shared with me. By now, at this stage in our journey, maybe several thousand of us are enjoying this journey together. Many hundreds of you have taken up the subscription for yourself or your family or your church. And so we know of more than 2,000 people a day enjoying this journey together. And we'll enjoy next year as we enter into and dive deep into the stories of heroic acts amongst the women and men of the scriptures. But for today, we have these last words of Revelation and the final words of Scripture. And what words they are. Let's read from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So the final words are words of resolution. And they seem to be words of resolution about great themes that we find in Scripture. Here, as though God takes the two great strands of Scripture, covenant and kingdom, his sovereign activity and our freedom to choose, and ties them in a bow and presents them as a gift to each one of us. There is something final about the words of God, who speaks with words that sound so sovereign. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who does right continue to do right. God is speaking a sovereign word that seems to hold secure the behaviour of humanity in the decisions that they take. And yet, even in the midst of this most sovereign of passages, even in the midst of what appears to be the most solid of words, unmovable, immutable, there is freedom. Freedom to take the free gift of the water of life. And maybe that's what we should understand on this last page. That from the perspective of heaven, the final words have already been spoken, but from the perspective of the bride and the Spirit of God who resides in the heart of every believer, there is still the freedom to choose. And how do we hold sovereignty and freedom together? Just simply by saying that both are true. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. A dear friend of mine who's now gone to be with the Lord told me of his family who planted churches all throughout Georgia and the Atlanta area in the early part of the 20th century and the later part of the 19th century. And he said that they were reading these words at the turn of the year, at the turn of the century. And until that time, they had been somewhat captured by the belief that God had already made his decision, and there was nothing that anyone could do about what God had already chosen. There were some that were chosen for destruction and some that were chosen for life. And then they read these words on the dawn of a new century, and they realized that there was still freedom to choose, that yes, God was sovereign, but somehow within his sovereignty, in a way that perhaps only God would know, he had given freedom and therefore a commission. Freedom for any to choose and therefore a commission for all of his children to go and share the gospel. And so they began to share the gospel in the woods and the mountains of Georgia. They began to share those messages in the villages and hamlets and towns, and finally in the great city of Atlanta itself. And to this day, congregations are all around the South that bear a direct connection and heritage with those churches. What an amazing story at the turn of a year. And I wonder whether such great stories will be told of you and of your testimony. I wonder whether great stories will be told of my testimony as we enter into a new year and complete an old one. And as we do that, find ourselves captured again by the sovereignty of God that is so certain and sure in Scripture. And yet, within that sovereignty, a freedom for us to go and call others who may choose, if they wish, to share in the free gift of the water of life. And we do that until when? Until the return of Jesus, prophesied in this book, writ large in the pages of Scripture, and testified by himself when he says, I'm coming soon. Jesus has his foot on the threshold of heaven. The door is open. The heavens, resplendent with the glory of God, are open for Jesus to step into our world once more, finally, and forever, to change it and the universe forever. We're at a moment where you and I should consider a new year and a year gone. A new year where we commit ourselves afresh to what it is that God has called us to. We bind to our hearts anew the commitments that we've made in the past. And we choose in this new year and in this new phase of our life to follow closely the call of Jesus, whose foot is on the threshold of heaven, ready to return and complete the story. And so you and I, like those Christians that I told you about over 100 years ago, have the opportunity to recommit ourselves to the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus that is proclaimed in the sovereignty of God and yet activated in the freedom of humanity. And that freedom will be exercised right up till the end, because God in his mercy will give us every chance to share and everyone a chance to hear. And so we hear Jesus saying that he's coming soon. And we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be turned towards you on this last day of the year, in this last devotion of the New Testament. Lord Jesus, you're returning. And we pray that we, Lord, would commit ourselves to the task that lies between this day and your return. Lord, may many come to know you through us. May many come to know you through those that we share our lives with. And Lord, I confess that I'm really stumbling and incapable of sharing a word with anyone. I struggle, Lord, to offer anything of value, because my tongue seems to be tied and my lips are made of lead. But Lord, I pray that you would speak anyway. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through each one of us, and that we would know, Lord, the joy of gathering before that white throne and looking around and seeing faces that are there because you've used us. You've used us in this glorious work of mission. You've used us, Lord, as co-workers, partners in the gospel. Lord, may that day come, and may the joy be ours to see many gathered around that white throne, gathered into your kingdom, rejoicing in the golden city by the waters of life, enjoying the fruit from the tree of life. May we, Lord, know the joy of seeing many there because of what you've done in us and through us. Lord, we're grateful and we're humbled that you should even consider such as us for such a task. And so we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing journey through the scriptures. And Lord, I say, thank you for the small part that I played in these daily devotions. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to use them. And I pray it, Jesus, according to your character and identity and for the glory of your name. And Lord, I pray that the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would be upon each one of us who participate in these daily devotions. And may we know, Lord, the joy of that blessing each day. Amen.